gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
So the intro has been played. Again, welcome to Hoosier Hockey Live. This is episode 12 featuring the Woodstock, Ontario native. He's a 91 birth year. That puts him at 27 years of age, ladies, but he's taken, so keep your hands off.
Yeah.
All right. He's a 09 fifth round pick of the Atlanta Thrashers. This motherfucker is 6'6", 240. Now, I think he's trimmed down a little bit, but yeah. I'm going to leave him right there.
My playing weight's around 230, so...
Very good.
But they don't.
And he's at 450 pro games played. Ladies and gentlemen, Cody Soule.
Welcome. Thanks for having me. You know, I did one podcast already with the comments. Got a podcast out now. So my podcast virginity has been gone already. But number two, I got that out of the way. Somewhere number two should be better for me.
Very good. Yeah, and we got organized earlier in the week. So I kind of feel good about where we're going. And Taylor White, thanks for joining us, bud. So what I want to do, Cody, is kind of roll some like career stuff, and then we'll do some fun stuff, and then we'll go back to the career. We'll just kind of keep it loose and
sounds
let
good.
Conversation flow. Okay?
See where it takes us.
So, yeah. So I'm going to flip back to the beginning, man. 07, you went with the Saginaw Spirit. Did you get drafted in the L?
Yeah, drafted in the sixth round to the Saginaw Spirit. Actually, an agent at the time had me keep track of all the teams, started talking to me via email, calls, and all that stuff. And I had meetings with teams and before the draft, and then they ended up taking me in the sixth round, and it worked out in my favor. Went to training camp, or we had an early summer camp, went there, had a good camp, then went back for training camp. Wasn't expecting to make a team. They still had an open underage spot, and so they gave me a contract, and I stayed there for the first week. And then eventually I sat down at Junior B for the first month and a half. Then I got called back up. So spent my first...
Very good.
Only played 12 games. I was there for probably 60 of them, but only played 12 games. So it was definitely... You go play minor hockey where you play every game and you're used to being the best player all the time or one of the best players in your team to the funnel just gets smaller and gets smaller and smaller. So it was definitely an eye-opener for me, and then especially moving away from home too, so...
Sure. All right, man. I'm going to read your stat line in Saginaw. You were there from 07 to 2010. 133 regular season games, 15 playoff games. In that time, you had 8 goals, 14 assists for 22 points, 283 PIMs, and were plus 22. So a couple things kind of glare at me for those first few years of juniors is that you were plus 22 as an underager in first year.
Yeah, so was being a big rangy defenseman, you take up a lot more ice than a smaller guy, but you always get peg-holed as a slow-booted, slow-foot defenseman, but with the size, it makes it a lot easier. And then actually after my first year, when my 16-year-old year, my exit meeting, they told me, said, if you don't fight and if you don't have over 100 penalty minutes, that there's no NHL team will look at you. So that first summer, my first real summer of training, I went to the gym, started lifting a lot more, and then I did some boxing classes too, and then came in the next year and pretty much learned how to fight on the go. So
very good. So, at what point were you 6'6"?
I'm stopped growing now, but I was drafted to the OHL at 6'3", 180 pounds, and then after I left Kitchener my fifth year, I was 6'5" and a half, and I was 225. And then over my years, probably gained half an inch and a few pounds.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah.
All right. So you mentioned Kitchener was the second team in the O that you played with. 122 regular season games, 23 playoff games, 19, 36, and 55 with 294 in PIMS. Now answer me this. When you were drafted at that time, I know it's a lot different now. Did the Thrashers have the rights to send you to like any junior team, or
no,
are you still under contract with them?
The NHL team owns your rights, but the junior team still, they own your, I guess, your rights to the NHL, but they don't own your rights in the OHL. So
okay.
They're happy. When I asked for a trade, we had a mutual agreement in Saginaw that I think my time has passed there, and we were looking to go somewhere else. So I had a no trade clause, so I had teams to pick for. So I gave him a list of teams. I was Oshawa, Ottawa, Kitchener, and London at the time, the four teams I gave him. And then we pretty much told any of those four teams that you can get the best deal for, and they chose Kitchener. So and I'm grateful for it. Kitchener was awesome.
Right on. So, of the two cities you played in juniors, which one's your favorite?
Kitchener is definitely my favorite. Saginaw still holds a place in my heart. I had really good billets out there, and they were awesome for me. But now that when I was playing Kitchener, it was close to home. My parents still come. They came to every game when I played in Saginaw. So when I played in Kitchener, it was only 35 minutes from door to door from my parents' place to the auditorium. So that was huge for me. And then I also had Kitchener again. I had great billets. So I think that's one thing in junior hockey that goes underrated or goes untouched, that the billet families are crucial.
Sure.
I've played with some guys that just had some bad situations, and we've pulled guys into my place before just to kind of get out of places. So, Kitchener, it was awesome there, especially when you get to be 19, 20 years old. You get to be the drinking age, and then there's two universities there in Kitchener-Waterloo. So it was a lot of fun, Ben. We had a good team, and I played under Steve Spott, who's assistant coach of San Jose now. So it was awesome playing there.
Yeah, you mentioned the billets. My wife and I were USHL billets when the Indiana Ice were here in Indiana, and we were the family they would send them to if they were having a rough go.
Yeah.
So we had guys come and go. So it was a good thing and a bad thing, so we kind of had to tune a couple of them up, but nothing too serious, luckily. So best player you played with in the O, against it or with them?
First person I played against, I was in Saginaw my first year. I was actually out of the lineup that night. It was in Saginaw, and Sarnia Sting came to town, and Stamkos was on their team, and we lost 9-1, and Stamkos had 8 points, and it was like, at that point, you could tell he was just a step ahead of everyone else. He was just that good. So, knowing that at that point he was obviously a highly touted prospect. He was number one everywhere he went. But watching him play, especially up in the stands, it was like, okay, that guy can do something special. So
he's ridiculous. And watching him every night on center ice is pretty special too.
Yeah. So
So what about the guy? Maybe a guy you played with?
Guy I played with. Played Kitchener. I played Gabriel Landeskog, who's a captain in Colorado now. He was same way he is now, just a hard worker, great leader, and he was a good guy off the ice too. A lot of those guys they talk about. There's this hockey pro training guy that Instagram thing he posted about guys being off the ice, being character team, especially when you go pro. If you got that rep behind you when you're junior, it's hard to find places to play. So I strive to be a locker room guy. I love the locker room. I like to tell jokes. I like to yuck up the boys. So I think Landeskog, he was just, especially like when we talk about leadership, he was definitely one of the guys that you could learn from for sure.
Very good. So you mentioned earlier the coach saying, pick up the fighting. Who's your toughest tilt in the O?
Probably Kyle Neuber. He bounced around a few ESHL teams. Him and Richard Greenup were the two tough guys in the OHL at the time. And every time they played each other, they'd go at it pretty good. And at that time, I was the biggest guy on my team, so pretty much every time we played them, I knew I was going to have to fight them, and they came knocking, I didn't really have an option. But when I played Saginaw with Plymouth, was our big rival, so Jamie Devane, he bumped around with Toronto and Orlando and a few teams in American League. He we had a lot of good fights with him. He's same size as me, 6'5", 6'6", and so he was probably my biggest rival in the fighting game of that.
Very good. Moving towards kind of the end of the conversation about juniors, man, you got any good like ace stories? And I'm not talking like kill stories. I mean, just like some general aces.
Any good stories? not really. We did a ton of leaners on the in hotel rooms. We, because you're young kids and first time being away from home, that was the thing to do. We did a lot of bus rides, especially when I played Saginaw. We would go up 4 hours on a Wednesday, play them at night, 4 hours back. So most of my memories from junior is the bus rides with the teammates. So right, not really any ridiculous stories I can think of, but
mostly. Were you a prankster?
I did do a lot of pranks. My first year here, I got caught up in the pranks. It was Kaley Schrock. I'm sure you know of him.
Yeah.
He's the king of pranks, and he was one of those guys that you pranked him once, he'd come back, you did it again. He would go to the point where, like, you just want to concede to him because he would go far enough.
Right.
To, like, so, yeah. And I had, in juniors, as rookies, you got hazed a bit more, but it was all in good fun, and they would screw with your gear. Sure. And
back in the day, it wasn't good fun. Nowadays, it's like, you know.
Yeah, you can't do anything more. But we wouldn't say it's hazing, but you're still a rookie, and you still gotta move up the ranks. But there's not much, the hazing like it used to be, it's not anything like that anymore. But I had good vets with me, and so it makes me, when I started getting older in the O and older in pro, that I still am so hard on them every now and then. But you gotta show them the way and show them how to be a good pro. So,
sure. All right, man. So, moving kind of from the juniors conversation into 09, when you moved into the American Hockey League, I notice, a big difference in games, but your plus minus is the biggest thing that suffered. What kind of attributed to that, do you think?
It was just the size of the guys you're playing against. My last year junior, I was 6'5", 230, and it was just the players you're playing at 16-year-olds. When I was 16, I gained 6 inches three inches and 60 pounds in 5 years. So you're playing against kids that can't minor hockey. Yep. So when you go pro, it's a man's game. Everyone's big. Everyone can skate. Everyone lifts it now. Oh, yeah. So the game, it just changed to a man's game. I think it took me, it's a little bit of time, it's a learning curve. So I think, I found that way now. But I think it suffered for me a little bit going, getting bumped down to the East Coast, and the East Coast League has been, notified as more of a fighting league, so my fighting was still prevalent there, so that's why I kept fighting. But now some injuries have kept me off the PIMS a little bit, but I still enjoy it. But yeah, definitely some injuries have kept me shying away from a little bit.
Okay, so of the markets in the A, you had Chicago and St. John's. Those are the only two you had in the A, right?
Yeah, and I did training camps in San Antonio and Chicago, and San Antonio and in Tucson.
Which of those markets did you like best?
St. John's was awesome. We have a road trip coming up there in middle of February. Yeah, they pack the barn every night. It's just, not the only thing they can do up there, but it's a rock. There's snow everywhere, and Canadians love hockey. So, so when we were up there, we packed the house every night, and it was good hockey, and I learned a lot when I was up there, and it was a fun city too. Luckily, I lived.
One sec.
There's no worries.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I lived in the hotel connected to the Mile One Arena up there. So luckily, I didn't have to go outside very often because when it snowed up there. There was times where it was probably up to 4 feet of snow on the ground. We had practice canceled a couple times just because of the snow. So, but yeah, it was a fun city.
Very good. Toughest tilt in the A, man.
Probably when I was in St. John's, I fought Zach Sortini when he was on him in Hamilton. So he was a tough guy in the National League for a bit, and then when he came to the American League, he was still up there. So it was two guys with long hair going at it, a couple of lions throwing some punches. Yeah, that was my toughest tilt. So. David Brohl too. He played for Marlies, and I actually broke my nose, or kind of not broken, but it was fractured my nose in that fight. Mm-hmm. And then we had to fly home to St. John's after. And when it landed in St. John's, just both the eyes, just bloodshot, just both two black eyes when it landed. So the pressure of the plane.
Right,
but
sure, yeah. Very good. All right, man. Before we jump to the coast, I want to play a quick little rapid fire question game.
Sure.
Okay? So I'm not going to throw a ton of time between them. I'm just going to start firing.
Okay? All right.
All right. You're in one karaoke song. You're out with the boys. You're in one. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Hero by Enrique Iglesias. I know it's
very
best,
good.
So.
Favorite music genre?
Country.
Favorite sports movie?
Of course, we remember the Titans.
Of course. Favorite actor?
Will Ferrell.
Very good. Cheat meal?
cheat meal, a lot of cheat meals for me, but I love Caesar Salad, but my cheat meal is Panda Express.
Very good. So, favorite city?
Favorite
Non-hockey.
Favorite city would be Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, complete the sentence. When I dance, I look like?
Like I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Very good. Three words to describe yourself.
Big, funny, and loving.
Very good. So. All right, man. So, I put something out on the Facebook and asked for some questions, and those are some that came up. So, for those of you that partook in that, I hope you enjoyed that, and we're going to jump into the coast now. I see 2012 to 2019, I see Colorado, Ontario, and Fort Wayne. Is that right?
Yeah.
Very good. So, 416 games played between regular season and playoffs, 45, 94, and 139. 1,016 penalty minutes and a plus 76 rating, man. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, so actually, I got my 1,000th penalty minutes earlier in the year, and it was a slashing penalty. So I got the game sheet from that night, and so I got that sitting in my stall, and I'm just waiting for my new gloves to come in, and then when those come in, I'm gonna spray paint my gloves I was wearing that night with gold spray paint, making like a little plaque out of it. So I'm pretty excited.
Very good.
So
that's awesome, man.
So it took a while to get there, so it was fun.
Yep. Yeah, a couple notes I noticed in that piece of data. You've made playoffs in every year since 2014, and 1,016 penalty minutes in seven seasons, which is 145 average over the term. So let's talk about the first point: playoffs in every year since 2014. What attributes to that? Is it more than? I mean, I imagine it's more than just you.
Definitely the team. It's obviously it's a team sport, but the situations I've been in, especially here in Fort Wayne, they love the win, so they bring in a team every time. And the system I was with Winnipeg, it was the same way. Teams from top to bottom obviously want to win, and no disregard to Winnipeg. I wish I was still with the system. I wish I was closer to the top than I am now, but they obviously picked and choose the players they wanted, but they worked their way up too, so they got a good organization there. So I got a president to those teams themselves, but it's just what you, it's with the character in the locker room you build. If guys aren't willing like to party together or play hockey together, if guys won't willing to do something off the ice together, they're not going to want to battle for the guy on the ice. So especially Jamie Shastman here in Fort Wayne, we're really big on that. He's like, the locker room's not together, you're not gonna do anything on the ice together. So we have some close knit teams here, and I think that is a testament to all the playoff wins and playoff success. So
excellent. Before I ask my next one, I just want to thank a couple people: Emily, Taylor, Corey, Ryan, Brett, Kathy, and Phil. Thanks for watching episode 12 of Who's Your Hockey Live with Cody Soule. So let me jump back in, man. Associate captain for what is it? Fourth year?
This is my
third year.
Third season here in Fort Wayne. I've been over for a couple years in junior too. So
very good. Okay. So when you're talking about being in the leadership team, name a couple people and talk about maybe who mentored you as a leader and the attributes that you took from them and implement into your game and your style of leadership.
Like I said before, Landis Scott, when I played in Kitchener, I wore the A after. He was the C when I was there, and I was wore the A with him. So he's obviously an easy guy to look after. And practice every day. It was just sometimes you don't feel like working, but especially being an older guy now, guys, the kids will look at you and they'll look up to you. If they see you're dogging it, they're going to dog it too. And it's just not the atmosphere you want. And then Shastma here in Fort Wayne, I would say he's probably one of the biggest mentors I've had for my game and just the hockey in general. He's huge what he does. Before he came here, he was in the finals, I would say. I'm not sure what the actual stat was for his years pro since he started out in Italy. He was in the finals, if not won it, for 8 of the 9 years he did that. So he's a winner, and he's a good leader. You know, it's not always about the numbers you put up or the stats in your stat sheet. It goes it goes beyond the ice. It goes, like I said, the locker room. The locker room's huge for us. And, and Shastma, he loves his joking around too. So we go tit for tat on who can be the funniest guy in the locker room. But yeah, I'd say a lot of my leadership skills and mentoring has got to come from him.
Right on. A couple things I noticed when you're mentioning the leadership roles. And again, I'm not going to pump your tires too much here. Yeah. I'm going to say a couple of good things. But what I noticed, and it kind of goes back to the stats too. When you first came in, you were a banger. And maybe you didn't get all the minutes you wanted that you're getting now,
yeah.
But you were sticking up for teammates, which is, that's an admirable trait. where if someone's taken liberties, you stepped in and, you know, beat the wheels off people.
Yeah.
And then now, kind of seeing it as the associate captain of the Comets is, you know, maybe not taking those penalties and being more accessible during crucial situations, and that in turn helping the team. So, you know, kind of a transition, you know, of roles, if you will, but still great leadership qualities. So,
yeah, I think, well, the A on my jersey definitely helped my dialogue with the referees. You know, with no letter in your jersey, they'll talk to you, but they won't give really the time of day that you really want to get your work out. But when you have that letter in your jersey, they'll listen to you and have what to say. So once I got that letter in my jersey, I went from, I think, just about 250 PIMs in one season, got a letter in my jersey the next year, and I split it in half. So that definitely helped my style of game. And the fighting, the stick up for teammates, that probably helped me get a letter. It's just like, but then the game's changed. The game is, you see it in every level now. The East Coast is probably the last league that they have enough fighting to keep the fans coming around. But the game got faster. The game got higher skilled. And I, over the years of where I work out and train, I would just change with the game because I didn't want to be out of a job. I loved hockey, and I still love hockey. Mm-hmm. So, and I want to keep playing as long as I can, injuries pending. But I think I worked on my skill set. So I think my skill level happened, probably had correlation with my PIMs going down and the points going up. So
very good. And it's funny, your name came up on the Bobby Shea episode 11, which did pretty well. That the decision making as you've progressed in your career has gotten a lot better, whether that's not taking a penalty, whether it's breaking the puck out a certain way, or just your movement in the offensive zone, all of those things, all those decisions that, you know, you're making during the game have come a long way. So you know, we both spoke to that in that episode. So again, pumping the tires a little bit. But that's a feather in your cap, man. It's something that, you know, you want people to see progression and see all those things, and you know, it's pretty obvious.
So I think confidence in my game is, I think every player now has the tools and the skill set to make the NHL. And I think for young kids, especially if they're listening, it's, if you have confidence out there playing, that's the biggest tool you can have. Coming out of junior, I started junior at a young age, didn't play much, worked my way up, mm-hmm. got to a level where I had confidence playing and getting to the point. Then I went pro, and it's the same thing. You got to work your way back up. You got to go through the system. There's guys that have been there, have their jobs locked down, and then work mm-hmm. my way up to, you don't get much ice time. You're down on yourselves. You're trying everything you can until then. I got confidence a couple of years ago, three or four years ago. Playing ever since then, my eyes opened up, my skill set just you try things you would never try before. So, and then mm-hmm. so then that's confidence has been huge for me.
Very good. So I kind of want to switch gears. I'm going to tell my favorite Cody Soule story.
All right.
I'm going to tell it to the fans, and I'm going to get your commentary on it.
All right.
And I want to know, A, if you remember it, and if it was as comical to you as it was to me. Okay. So, this is about 2 years ago. We went up to Fort Wayne. We watched a game on a beautiful Saturday night, and you guys were playing, I believe it was Toledo. And you know how they get the jungle going, man.
Yeah.
They crank up the music. They cut the lights off, and then, you know, at defense, number 44, Cody Soule, and you come out hot. You're just ready to go. And the second you hit the ice, the steel came off your tuck.
I remember that.
You ate shit.
You should. Were you there in warm up? We warm up having the same thing. I like to be last off the ice and last on the ice for my uh-huh. team. And in warm up, the same thing. I ran out. Those new blades had the little triggers on the bottom.
Yep.
The spring was broken. So every time I jumped, it would slip out. So in warm ups, the same thing. Jumped out in warm ups, slid across the ice. Had to get my teammates to help me off. They said they fixed it. Warm uh-huh. game started. My name was called in the locker room before, so same thing. That's why I don't run. I don't run on the ice anymore. I used to step out just in case.
Oh,
so,
you were coming in hot,
yeah.
Too, man.
So
you were coming out.
slid right into our photographer's
shit. Photographer, yeah. Took him out. Yeah.
And it was so slow. I could see it coming. I'm looking at her. I'm like, please move, please move, please move. And she stood there.
Yeah, he just ate it.
He got a couple of pictures as my way in, but yeah, she just, I slid right near her, she fell on top of me, so it wasn't my finest moment, but it was definitely, I remember it.
Well,
so.
And you played it off pretty well. It almost looked like a goalie where you're pushing off one foot, sliding back.
It almost sounded like kind of like a beach wave. You got the one arm like that, so.
Yep.
That point, it's nothing you can't do anything to control it, so it's out of my control. You just got to go with it, so.
Right, yeah. I was curious as if you remembered that moment, and you played it off really well, and people, you know, they just chuckled about it.
Yeah. I got a little bit of grief from the other team, but there's a lot of chirping still in hockey, so it's to be expected.
Sure, absolutely. It kind of reminds me of stepping on the puck. You ever stepped on the puck?
Holy shit. Hurt my groin a few times doing that. The steel's so small. The edges on it, you fly around, but you step on it. Like, even on those teddy bear toss games now, we scan the ice because all those teddy bears, they got those little tags in the ears and all that stuff, or little plastic things or hooks on. Those things fall on the ice. You step on that, you're done. So.
You're done.
Especially at that rate and that speed, you can seriously injure yourself. So
sure. Well, and that's kind of going back to your story. When you slid and you were kind of going towards the photographer, I'm like, if he fell the wrong way, that's a hip. That's a knee. I was like, I didn't think of it in the moment. I was just laughing. But then after, I was like, oh shit, he could have really been hurt.
To do it twice and within 20 minutes of each other, I got pretty lucky to just have no injuries there. So.
Very good. Mike, Natalia, Ashley, Valerie, and Alec, thanks for tuning in to Hoosier Hockey Live, episode 12. Cody, I'm going to give you a quick, 15-second break, 30-second break. I'm going to do a quick ad read, bud.
Sounds good.
Okay. Hey, guys, episode 12 of Hoosier Hockey Live is brought to you by Steiner Sports Training, okay? You think of the premier hockey facilities in the Midwest. Steiner is one of those facilities, okay? They've got an Olympic-style weight room, okay? They've got 6 squat racks, benches, all the things you could possibly need for free weights, okay? On the flip side of the building, they've got turf runs, the turf room side, where you can push the weight sled. You can do some sprints, okay? And then on the hockey deck, they've got the state-of-the-art hockey treadmill, okay? Giving you everything you need for your game, okay? So whether you play hockey at a high level or you play dog shit men's league like me, okay? Any range, okay? You can go in there, get a great workout in. My wife and I both go to Steiner. We see great results. So for whatever it's worth, get out to Steiner, okay? They've got everything you need. You could not even play hockey. You could be in your 50s just trying to stay in shape, okay? They've got a great facility, okay? I'd like to say thanks to Steiner for the support of Hoosier Hockey Live. And, so if you want to go on Groupon, they've got a couple things out there right now, and they will help you with your game, okay? So, Steiner, much love. Cody, we're back with you, brother. I want to kind of go into 2017 and 2018 year, okay? It was a year where you guys made it to the Kelly Cup Final versus the Colorado Eagles. Conference Final. Yep. So in a year where they knew that they were going to the American Hockey League the next season, that was announced about a week before the playoffs. So kind of walk us through that playoff run, if you will, and just kind of your thoughts on it.
Yeah, beat Cincinnati in the first round. Obviously, the Central Division is tough, so we beat them. Came out of, and then we hit up Toledo in the second round. And Toledo has been our arch nemesis for the whole time I've been here in Fort Wayne.
Toledo beat the wheels off of Indy.
So they beat us both years before. So we couldn't get out of our. The only time we got out of our division was when we were put into the Mountain Division with Allen and all them. So we'd play them first. So we made it all the way to Colorado. Game seven was a tough series. You know, first game they drove our net, goal interference. I thought no call on the play. Next game, so they ended up winning that game in overtime. Next game we had 2 warm up fights. Kravchenko and Maggio both fought a guy, and then. We were down a couple of guys. We had our Hauser couldn't play that night because he was injured from the night before. So we had backup. Bartis went in. He sold the game for us. So we're still 1-1 in the series.
Not a slouch as a backup, by the way.
No, yeah, he's a good tender. Yeah, he's I wouldn't say he's the most technical goalie out there, but he's athletic and He's got to keep the puck out of the net, and he does a great job doing that. So,
yep.
Make it go fast forward all the way to game seven, up 3-1, going into the third period. We kept them off the scoreboard till about the 8-minute mark. They score, and that arena just erupts. It's louder than any arena. It's louder than Toledo, louder than the Fort Wayne Barn when it's full. It's just the ceiling's low. The Coliseum, the ceiling's so high, so I think a lot of sound gets lost up there. But Colorado mm-hmm. get a lower roof, and it was buzzing. And then they scored with like I would say a minute and a half or so left, going overtime. We going down the ice. Kravchenko driving to the net, hits their goalie. They call goal interference, which is the most ridiculous call I've ever seen, especially after they won the first game because of it.
Right, and on a similar play.
It was not saying we obviously had a 3-1 lead with 8 minutes left. I'm not blaming that on the loss because they were a hell of a team. They obviously deserved the win too, but it's just kind of ironic that we the first game we lost because of goal interference, no call, and then we lost in this game seven because of goal interference call on us. So it was just frustrating to see, and it was heartbreaking. We had to ride the bus 22 hours back home after that, and it was devastating. You know, no, it was just you sit on the bus, we're having beers, and we're kind of enjoying our last. We stay for like a week after, we enjoying our time with each other. But that bus ride home was just when you weren't drinking beers, hanging out, and you're laying in your bunk. It's all you could think about. It's all I could think about for the first month after the season. It consumed me, and it was rattling. But that's what me and Chaz said. You come back stronger. Obviously, it wasn't the strong start we wanted this year, but that's the thing. You make it to the playoffs, you know how fun they are. It's just the game changes. You know, everyone is willing to do anything for each other. Anyone's willing to win that game at any price. So that's why you see such close games, and to win it all, it's four rounds against, you played a better team, a better team, a better team, and every team is getting better. As you think, think you win a series, and you're thinking you're buzzing, but that other team just won a series too, and they're buzzing. So it's just any error mistake on the ice, it could be in the back of your net. So
sure.
So it was go ahead.
You're good. Talking kind of about that, as it stands right now, Cincinnati at 51, Toledo at 49, Fort Wayne at 39, Indy 38, Wheeling 36, and Kalamazoo 31. How does that experience kind of motivate you guys for this year, and where you guys stand? You guys aren't out of it in the division by any means.
No, we're not out of it, but we're not solidified in it either. So it just shows you that I think the Central Division is probably one of the toughest divisions this year for sure. Mm-hmm. With the teams we have, and Indy, since now they're 5 years into the league now, and since when they first started to where they are now, they're a contender. They know how to play. Yep. They earned that playoff round against Toledo last year. They know what it took to beat them. They know how they lost too. So that stuff motivates teams. And I think it makes better hockey, and I love it. So
absolutely.
And the rival we have too with Indy Few. I guess I'm definitely not the most loved guy down in Indy, but I'm a villain down there. But when we come back to the Coliseum up here, I get loved here. So I get different to that. So
yeah, very good. Brenda Soul, thanks for tuning in, Mama Bear. So you mentioned the Coliseum and the jungle. Just speak on that environment, man.
It's amazing. That first time, the first game I played there, we played against Indy actually, and the Garrett Klotz is on the team. Few shifts in, I think, I don't know, 5-10 minutes into the game, Garrett Klotz hits teammate Drew Daniels from behind. I go and fight him. Pretty good tilt, and after that, the arena was erupted. It was the loudest I've heard an arena for fighting. I fought Junior. It wasn't the same, you know. The fans, there's a lot of skill level there. So the fans would roar and stuff in Junior, but this is the first time where, like, holy moly, they love it here. So I think right away off the bat, I was a fan favorite, and I became, and it grew and grew inside of me. I loved it. So it was just, you would just feed off it. You kind of gravitate to that kind of style of play too. So yeah, then the Welcome to the Jungle. There's so much tradition here. You know, they have, they said everything's like, I think 60, maybe 68 former Comet players in the 67 year history that are not from Fort Wayne that have stayed in Fort Wayne since they've came here to play. It's just, it's an awesome city. You're loved here. It's a big city, but it's small enough to that you can, you're almost treated like a little celebrity here, and it's kind of cool to have that feeling. So
Yeah, and you know, we at Hoosier Hockey Live have had two ex-Comets on in the last 2 weeks. One being Brandon Marino, and the other being Bobby Shea. Those two spoke so highly of Fort Wayne during the interviews and during the, you know, prep time going into that. You know, I don't think it's any coincidence that, you know, 3 for 3, you know, show so much love for the city of Fort Wayne and you know, the culture that's there. And they, like I told, you know, Bobby the other day, they love under the best and worst, because you guys have had some really good years. There's been a couple years where they weren't so great.
Yeah.
You know, they love them no matter what.
The fans here, they expect to win. They definitely want you to win. So worst games, we're not playing our best, and they'll let us know. But, you know, it just shows that you – losing is not accepted here, so it makes it that much not easier, but it makes you work that much harder to become a winning organization and a winning team. So, and you got to chill out to the Franchi family that owns and runs the team. I tell them all the time, it's the first time in my career, junior as a pro, that I felt like a person here and not just a number in the system. You know, there's times when you get bounced around from junior team to junior team, and they look at your stats, they look at this, they look at where you're drafted, where you're drafted, how much, what's your salary, how many games played you played here. But here they have the office across the street. You can go in to talk to the owners at any time you want. You go in there, they'll tell stories too. So it's just like they run this team like a family, not a business.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Fan question. What are some of the things you do in the locker room between periods? And can you explain what goes into strategy changes on the fly?
Strategy change on the fly, it's all the coaches. They bring a lot of that up for us. But especially the D part, me and my D partner Binkley, we can, especially when you're on the bench, you can watch what their team's doing. You can, if they're changing their breakouts or their forecheck, you can figure out things like that to make it easier on yourself. But in the locker room, we like to, it depends what the game is, if we're up or down, but we like to keep it light, you know. You don't want to be so solely focused on what you're doing that you clog your brain. It's all you think about. But yeah, hockey's on the mind. Guys are thinking about power play. It's a lot of focus, because power plays, special teams make or break seasons. You know, penalty kills can keep the other team. Especially Toledo last year, they had one of the best power plays. They have the best power play in the league for years. So our penalty kill had to be up to par to beat them. So special teams is always on the topic in between intermissions. And And I like to change my shirt. I go through a dry shirt every game, every period. So Joe Franchi, our trainer, just got named All-Star, actually. Mike Gitch loop is huge, and he doesn't like it, but he gives me a hard time. But
your loop takes up one washer, one load.
Yeah, so I'm a bigger guy to begin with. And I also have I have a goalie bag, too. My gear's bigger. I carry two pairs of skates with me, two pairs of gloves, and my shin pads are bigger. Everything just bigger, being a big guy. So we have these small bags I used to pack it into. So yeah, I got that goalie bag. So,
All right, man. So I'm gonna jump kind of into the general questions, kind of get away from the hockey stuff, and let these guys know you a little bit. In 2017, you got a haircut, and many people love the flow that you had when you were winging, chucking nucks. You could see it flying in the wind, and it was really a sight to see. But you had a reason for doing it. So walk us through kind of that story for maybe people that don't know. I know it was well covered in Fort Wayne. But
yeah.
Walk us through it.
My cousin who had brain cancer, he was, I think, 20 when he passed. It was hard to see, you know, when cancer really, my great aunt died when I was younger, and I was close to her, but it wasn't to the point where you're young, you don't really understand. But to this, the point where my cousin, it hit me really hard and hit me at home. So I was traveling back and forth that year, and my hair was something that I loved myself too, but it was just, I would talk to a few hair companies here in town, and they said that there's kids here that losing their hair, that's the one thing they talk about when they do chemo. They do not like losing their hair, and so I did Wigs for Kids. It was a foundation that they found, and it's free of charge to get wigs, so I was able to do something for cancer. That it's obviously a disease that affects a lot of people, that it sucks, but if I can help in a simple way like that by giving a young girl or a young boy some golden locks that I had a fun time wearing, so hopefully they're being put to good use now too. And just before that happened, I was fighting a ton, and I got in a fight with Tyler Biggs on Kalamazoo, and my hair was in I was fighting. I threw a right, came back, and then I went to go throw another right and a counter punch. Couldn't see anything, and he was at the same time counter punching with his right, and it clocked me right in the cheek, and I broke my cheekbone, and still to this day, I feel tingling and numbness in there too, but it's just, at that point, it was like, that happened, my cousin passed, so I was just like, I want to do something, and then the hair was an easy thing for me to do, so, and it was, it felt good for me to do it, and hopefully, there's a little girl running around.
Very good. Yeah, beautiful story, man, and an even better cause. So Garrett Hunt, I don't know if you know the name. He plays for the Jacksonville Icemen. He is still playing and is the ECHL all-time PIMS leader. Have you ever had a fight with him?
I never fought him, but he was in Stockton and Alaska when I was over in the West. When I played in Ontario and Colorado, I played against him multiple times. But no, I never fought him just because I don't like fighting small guys. It's just pretty much it's a lose-lose situation. I fight him, I'm supposed to win. If I fight him, I don't win, then I look like a loser losing to small guys.
Right.
So it's just,
yeah.
And I don't, fighting small guys, it's just they're harder to fight. They get close and they get up and tight with you, and they can throw upper jabs and stuff like that. And it's hard, and you can try and string them out, but they just come in tight. It's just a lot harder to fight them. But I give those guys credit. Yeah, for Hunt, the way he plays, he's still doing it. Pound for pound, he's probably one of the tougher guys around. So,
right on. It's funny you mentioned the smaller guy. You know, Bobby being around 5'11", talked to him last week. He had a go with Garrett Klotz, who's about 6'8".
Yeah, so
and he beat the wheels off him. I looked that video up. He fed him lunch.
Yeah, so that's the thing. You don't Bobby Shea. Now that I know how tough he is, he's probably one of the guys. Yeah. Him and Taylor Crunk are kind of guys that. I don't know if I ever want to fight those guys. Maybe when I was younger in my glory days,
man.
But I don't know. I still know how to do it, and I still get excited, and I get the adrenaline rush off it. But yeah, those guys.
Sure.
Those guys are tough. You know, you got to get tip of your cap to other guys that can throw the nucks too. So I think the hardest part is just dropping your gloves, which is a lot of good people don't really know.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, and there's no crazier adrenaline than from. You know, a slash on the boot to, you know, fuck you, no fuck you, and then next thing you know, there's
guns. Yeah.
And it gets real quick, it's there, and then it's on, and then I've only been in a couple tilts myself, but you can speak better to it. The moment the fight is over, it's almost like a tingling, like, you know, just like almost like a release of like adrenaline.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I don't remember much of the fight, and by the time you're in the zone, you're doing your thing, you're throwing punches, you're dodging punches, you're trying to switch to lefts and rights, you're trying to, it's like a little game of chess match, and you're a chess match that if you make the wrong move, you're going to get knocked out, so. So it's just, that whole thing, and then, but when you're fighting, you don't know what you're doing. You know you're doing, but you don't know you're doing, if that makes sense or not, but
yeah.
You're fighting, it's just, and you sit in the box after, you're like, holy moly, you're done, and that was it, so. No, yeah, that adrenaline rush—it's crazy. You know, in the summer, I get frustrated, and my fuse just gets shorter and shorter. I don't get to punch anything. I don't get to hear anything. It just I can't release any of that release I need. So, in the summer, my fuse gets real short. But yeah, I love when I'm playing again. It's just to be able to do those kind of things. I was kind of somebody I said to break something to get that out of your system, but that adrenaline rush, it's hard to explain, but once you get it, there's adrenaline rush, people can do other things to do the same way, but fighting is definitely one of those things you can do.
Sure. Who's got the shortest fuse in the room right now?
Who's got the shortest fuse? I don't know. I would say I have the shortest fuse. So I don't get pissed off either. It's just,
right.
I'm a pretty controlling person, so when things don't really go my way, I get my fuse snaps pretty quickly. So, but Bobby Shea, his fuse, he had a long fuse, but when that fuse went off, you watch out. You do not want to get in Bobby Shea's way when he's going. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Krunker's got a pretty short fuse, but if I Krunker, he can throw too. That guy's tough as nails too. He's almost kind of picked up the role for me of sticking up for teammates. He does a ton of that stuff now, and it's him being on our team has allowed me to play. So allowed me to get more ice time, allowed me to get more space to do it. I don't feel obligated to fight every guy on the ice. I don't feel obligated to challenge every guy with Krunker out there. Especially last year, we had a real tough team, so it was nice. I think that helped all of us have a little space to play, because you weren't the only guy to get called on.
Yeah, man. So I have one more question. I want to wrap this thing up. I appreciate you spending 40 minutes with us.
No worries.
if you couldn't play hockey, what would you be doing? What would your job be?
If I couldn't play hockey?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a hard question to answer because hockey's all
you're
I know.
In it. Yep.
It's all I've ever done. It's all mm-hmm. I've ever not the only thing I ever loved, but it's the one mm-hmm. thing I've loved since I was so young, and my whole life is based around hockey. I've been playing hockey, minor hockey to summer training to I played other sports growing up, but all I could think about was hockey. And when junior became realistic for me, that I didn't even think about playing the OHL. I thought about the OHL, but it became real to me. And then once I was in the OHL, and it was awesome. It was a life changing experience for me. And I remember those junior days like there yesterday, and then my pro days too. But if I had to do something, I would probably be firefighting because. Mm-hmm. Through our PHPA association, we have a career enhancement program that we can get involved with firefighting. They can help us out by getting our certificate. So I would say firefighting would be the one thing I had to do, but I'm going to play as long as I can. You know, Shazzy's still playing at 35. We have the same birthday. Actually, his birthday is the same as me, February 11th. So so he'll be turning 36, and I'll be turning 28. So we'll be or 35 or one of the two, but... Yeah, I'm sure.
I think he's going on 36.
Yeah, I think he's an 83.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
so right on. So 36. Yeah. So yeah, firefighting would be one. But yeah, if I could play till 35, like Fatorik did in KZoo, he played for the longest time too. So we'll see if my body can hold up that long. I play the style of game I play. It takes a toll, but I still love it.
Right on. I thought of one question. In the division, you've got Cincinnati, Toledo, Fort Wayne, Indy, Wheeling, and Kalamazoo. Who's the biggest pest in the division?
Who's the biggest pest? I would say it would be Taylor on Kalamazoo. He's good. He's a good player, and he's just a rat out there. I actually met him. I met him in Chicago for American League camp. So he's a good guy. I know. I talked to him a little bit. We went out for lunch one time with him too. So that's the thing about hockey. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what team you're on, who you play for. We were on that same team in Chicago at the time, and you just become teammates for that little brief period. But when someone's on your team, I have friends all over the league now, but on the ice you battle with the guys in your jersey, so afterwards you want to talk to the guy, go right ahead. But yeah, I would say Taylor is probably the biggest pest in our division.
Very good. All right, man, we're gonna wrap this thing up. I do want to say to the viewers, if you like and share this video, episode 12 of Hoosier Hockey Live, you are going to be entered into a drawing for an autographed Cody Soule CCM Super Tack stick, okay? That will be mailed out on Sunday, or well, I guess it'll be Monday, but it'll be signed on Saturday and sent out Monday. So we're also going to be giving away 5 autographed photos of Cody. So again, if you don't win that stick, like and share, you're going to have a chance to win something cool from Cody. So yeah, Cody, thanks for being on with us.
Am I allowed to like and share and go for a picture too, or... it was right good. On. Thanks for having me. You know, it's Indiana's been my home for the last 5 years, so hopefully grow the game here. So it helps with the social media platforms that we can be on too. So hopefully it goes as far as we can. So
very good. And for those of you that maybe have long commutes to work, Hoosier Hockey Live was just approved on iTunes, so we are on iTunes now. This episode will not be on tonight; it will be on tomorrow. So. If you don't get a chance to watch it and you share it to a couple buddies, they can watch it on iTunes or listen to it on iTunes as well as on Facebook Live. Cody, thanks for being with us, brother.
Yeah, thanks
and,
again.
Best of luck.
Appreciate it. I'll see you Friday.
Yep. See you, man.
See you later.
So that was episode 12 of Hoosier Hockey Live. We'd like to say thanks to Cody Soule and the Fort Wayne Comets for the content rolled out during this episode. We'd also like to say thank you to Steiner Sports Training. For their support of Hoosier Hockey Live. Episode 13 will be next week on Sunday, and that will roll to iTunes on Monday morning. So thank you for your listening on iTunes, and have a great weekend.